Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2008.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, Cyrus, whose right hand I grasp, subduing nations before him, and making kings run in his service, opening doors before him, and leaving the gates unbarred. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen one, I have called you by your name, giving you a title, though you knew me not. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. It is I who arm you, though you know me not, so that toward the rising and the setting of the sun, people may know that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Give the Lord glory and honor.
Give the Lord glory and honor.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all you lands. Tell his glory among the nations, among all peoples, his wondrous deeds.
Give the Lord glory and honor.
For great is the Lord and highly to be praised. Awesome is he beyond all gods. For all the gods of the nations are things of naught, but the Lord made the heavens.
Give the Lord glory and honor.
Give to the Lord, you families of nations. Give to the Lord glory and praise. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring gifts and enter his courts.
Give the Lord glory and honor.
Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. He governs the people with equity.
Give the Lord glory and honor. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the Church of Thessalonians. In God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for you, remembering you in our prayers, unceasingly calling to mind your work of faith and labor of love and endurance and hope of our Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father. Knowing, brothers and sisters loved by God, how you were chosen. For our gospel, I did not come to you in the world alone, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with much conviction. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man, and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? Knowing their malice, Jesus said, Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax. Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, Whose image is this and whose inscription? They replied, Caesar's. At that he said to them, Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. This is Deacon Brian, and I'm here today with a very special guest because Dawn could not make it. I think she's on some kind of a vacation, which is probably well-deserved. And so I'm here with Father Daniel Dreyer. You want to say hello?
Hey, thank you very much. It's a little shout-out there to everyone in Caledago.
Canandaigua.
Canandaigua. I always mess that up.
Yes, Canandaigua. Yes, and Father Dan, you've been on the podcast before. You were Deacon Dan at the time.
That is correct. And now, lo and behold, I'm glad to be back here visiting you in Mundelein here in Room 836, 1 West Mundelein Seminary.
There you go. And, of course, you were also, for people who might be listening in Canandaigua, who might have been at my ordination or at the first Mass after my ordination, you vested me at my ordination as a deacon, and then you sat with me as a deacon at my first Mass as a deacon, and then, of course, the following weekend you were ordained a priest and are off in Amarillo, Texas, in the diocese
yes.
there. And I don't know if you'll make any of your students because you're at the Texas A&M, or West Texas A&M, am I correct? West
right,
Texas
West
A&M.
Texas.
student center, and I don't know if you'll make any of your students listen to this or anything, but...
There could be extra credit for listening to this podcast today.
There you go, see? So it could be very informative. You'll have to give a quiz or something. Like
maybe
that.
We will.
And of course, the people in Canandaigua, I will quiz you when I get back, so make sure you are listening as well. Did you have anything that struck you from any of the readings today, Dan, that you wanted to talk about, or any preaching points that you're using this weekend or anything?
Well, you know, I think one of the fine things that you said right there to my fellow students back home is to the test, I think, or quizzing. I think today in the gospel, according to Matthew, we see the great test of Jesus, where he is put very much to the test by his fellow Herodians. I'm correct, by Herodians.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
They are questioning him in a very tricky plot of, is it lawful for them to pay the census tax? And one of the very interesting things there is, either way he's going to answer that question, it could become very condemning for him. And he could be tried either way of answering whether yes or no. And yet, as he is plotted, or he is questioned or tested in the words that he uses, he then turns that right back on the way he answers that question and calls it back with words right back on them. I think that's a very powerful message in today's gospel.
Yeah, I think you made a good point there, Dan, because one of the things, he's kind of in this, you know, he's trapped if he does and he's trapped if he doesn't situation. This is Jesus we're talking about, of course. Because if he tells the people that it's okay to pay the tax, he's going to upset the Jewish leaders and they will come after him. And if he doesn't, then he's going to be taken into custody by the Romans. The Herodians, of course, were the followers of King Herod, so they probably would have taken him to custody right then and there and said, this man says he doesn't have to pay the tax, and he's teaching against the civil society. So he's kind of in this situation where either way he's in a lose-lose situation. And like you said, he's able to turn that around on them, knowing that they've set him up with a trick question, so to speak. And he looks at it, and the coin says, well, whose image is on this coin? And it's Caesar's, of course. And so he says, well, then it belongs to Caesar, so give it to Caesar. And what belongs to God, give to God. And this is actually, I think, an affront to both sides. The Jewish people would be kind of taken aback by that, saying, oh my goodness, he's actually instructing us to pay this tax, but also he's causing them to think about what is it that belongs to God and what is the kingdom of God. And as we've seen all throughout the Gospel of Matthew for this past year, really, one of Matthew's main things is talking about the kingdom of God being at hand. And I think this is a statement to that effect, that the kingdom of God, where we find God, is not in these places where we find the image of Caesar, so to speak, or in the government or in our laws or anything like that, but there's something different that delineates the kingdom of God, really. And I think that's an important theme, especially as we head into this election. A lot of times we sit here and say, where are my loyalties supposed to be? What's best for my country and all these types of things? But we have to also remember that if we're really people who are thinking about bringing the kingdom of God into this world, then sometimes we can't just be focused on the things that are Caesar's. We can't focus on money and wealth and the current economic crisis and all of those types of things. They're important issues, certainly, but are they really the most important issues is what we have to ask ourselves, I think.
I think you have a great point with that, Brian. I think the other very powerful message within this today is maybe how is it that we speak to one another? Are there times in which we set people up by the very things that we say, and where we are putting them to the test? Are there times where I try to say something to you, but I'm actually meaning something different, but I'm only saying it in a way that's only pulling you in to maybe set you up for the answer that I myself really want? Mm-hmm. I think many times in our life, maybe this is where those small sins come in to come back, and we get in this habitual routine of telling things that seem to be the truth, insinuating to things that really aren't there, but at the same time, we're only leading people into something further. Something more destructive. And I noticed that that's one of the things that the more I work with people, it seems like that's the point of grace for many people, is when we can finally realize, as we lead people into things, how many times we aren't totally true in what we're saying, and we might be leading them astray.
Right, or leading them down to where we want them to go. Again,
exactly.
We could be setting up that trap. And I think you're right, because I as you said that, I said, oh my goodness, that's something I do a lot of times where you'll say, well, you know, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Then why not this? You know, why not what right. I want rather than just presenting what I want? It's kind of a deceptive way about going about something. The other thing I thought that was kind of interesting in this whole line of questioning is they praise Jesus and say, you're not concerned with anyone's opinion. And then the next sentence is, so what is your opinion on this? Yeah, like, but we are. We're still concerned about people's opinions. And I think that's something, too, that's important. I think that when we really are following the will of God most, when we're closest to it, is the time sometimes when we can't be concerned with other people's opinions. And I know you've only been a priest for 3 months or so, but I'm sure there must have been some times, or if not, there will be times when you're going to have to say, I can't worry about people's opinion of me because I have to do what's right for the people who I've been assigned to look after or something like that. I don't know if you have a story along those lines that you want to share, but I mean, if not, I mean, I think that's one of the things that we have to be concerned about.
Yeah, not maybe so specific with a story, but I think specifically how many times we get trapped in people's affirmations. Like you said, they say, you know, you're not concerned about anyone's opinions, but what is your opinion? I think even within our own lives, and I think any lives of the listeners out there, how many times do we get caught up with, we're doing our job, but we're always concerned about what other people think? Mm-hmm. You know, I know for me, as I've begun my priestly ministry, there's many times that I'm a little nervous or a little hesitant on how does the pastor think I'm doing my ministry? Or am I getting a good rumor in the parish that I'm a good priest? Or, you know, what are people saying? What's the talk behind the pews, you know, or the whisper in the theologia, if you will? But at the same time, I think they're very, it's that whole point of, we know you are a truthful man and that you teach the way of God and that it's in accordance with the truth, exactly what it says from Matthew today. And we must be people within our own lives that aren't afraid to tell the truth. And if we're not teaching the truth, then are we teaching the way to God?
Yeah. I think that's kind of exactly it right there, is that notion that you just brought up there. Another thing I want to bring in a little bit is from the first reading, and we were talking about this before we started the podcast, where we learn maybe a little bit about, you know, who God is or how God works. And it seems here that God also tells us from the first reading that he works in ways where he says, you know, it is I who arm you, though you know me not. And I think that that's something, too, that we need to kind of remember, is that when going along with your notion of seeking praise or you're having this good reputation spread out in the parish, it's God who arms us. And it's not just you and I who are in ministry who God arms, but all the faithful, everything that we do, it's really God who works good through us. And it's true whether or not we recognize him. And a lot of times we don't, we know him not. We think it's ourselves. We think, oh, I gave a great homily today. Or, gee, I was really nice today when I worked at the soup kitchen and volunteered my time. Or any of those types of issues that might come out. And sometimes we forget that it's not really us at the end of the day, but it's God who's working through us. So I think there's an important sense in which we need to become more and more aware of where God is working through us. And, of course, give praise and thanks for that. And I think that kind of goes back to the gospel as well. When we look at the, you know, are we looking at the Roman coin and saying, oh, well, this is Caesar's great work or my great work? Or are we looking at this and saying, well, some of the stuff that I do in my life really is kind of meaningless or on the side or extra? It's, you know, the work of Caesar. But what I really need to focus on is that work of God, so that at the final judgment, of course, Matthew's got a great scene where he says, you know, he's separating the goats and the sheep, and he says, you know, he tells one group of people, get away from me, I never knew you. And so, of course, we don't want God to continually tell us, though you knew me not, yeah, especially at that last judgment. So I think we do need to become more and more aware of God's presence and God working within our own lives.
I think that's exactly right. And not only do we see God working in our own lives, but then we can tie that right into the response to our psalm, that after we see the work of Christ in our lives, we have to give the Lord the glory and the honor for what he's done in our lives and the greatness in which we should praise him.
Yeah, amen to that. I agree with you on that 100%. And I think that's a nice connection. We've connected most of these readings. Paul's letter, I think, is just kind of an introduction to the letter. So unfortunately, doesn't have a whole lot of deep theology that I see that really meshes into this in terms of homiletics. I'm sure other people could. And that's the great thing about Scripture, is that you can kind of always go into more and more depth on all of this. But as it turns out, Dan, we are running out of time on our podcast today. So I'm going to wrap it up. I thank you for joining me this week.
Thank you very much, Deacon Brian, for having me on my return trip back here to Mundelein.
And it's great to see you, and always great to have you on the podcast, and hopefully Don will be with us next week as well. And I thank everybody for listening. Have a good week, and God bless.